Our scripture reading this morning will come from the first book of Kings, chapter 22. We'll read verses 1 through 40 of the 22nd chapter of the first book of Kings. That can be found on page 304 if you're using a pew Bible. Page 304. We'll begin with the first verse of the 22nd chapter of the first book of Kings. Hear now God's word. For 3 years, Syria and Israel continued without war. But in the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel, and the king of Israel said to his servants, "Do you know that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us, and we keep quiet and do not take it out of the hand of the king of Syria?" And he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to battle at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said to them, "Shall I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or shall I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will give it unto the hand of the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here another prophet of the Lord whom we may inquire?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, but I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." And Jehoshaphat said, "Let not the king say so." And the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah." And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting on their thrones, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying before them. And Zedekiah the son of Chanah made for himself horns of iron and says, "Thus says the Lord, with these you shall push the Syrians until they are destroyed." And all the prophets prophesied so and said, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and triumph, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king." And the messenger who went to summon Micaiah said to him, "Behold, the words of the prophets with one accord are favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak." And when he had come to the king said to him, "Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we refrain?" And he answered him, "Go up and triumph. The Lord will give it to you in the hand of the king." But the king said to him, "How many times shall I make you swear that you speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" And he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let each return to his home in peace.'" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good concerning me, but evil?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one said one thing, and another said another. And then a spirit came forward and said, stood before the Lord and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'By what means?' And he said, 'I will go out and will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets.' And he said, 'You are to entice him, and you shall succeed. Go out and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all of these your prophets. The Lord has declared disaster for you.' Then Zedekiah the son of Chenaah came near and struck Micaiah on the cheek and said, 'How did the Spirit of the Lord go from me to speak to you?' And Micaiah said, 'Behold, you shall see on that day when you go into an inner chamber to hide yourself.' And the king of Israel said, 'Seize Micaiah and take him back to Ammon, to the governor of the city, and to Joash the king's son, and say, Thus says the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him meager rations of bread and water until I come in peace.' And Micaiah said, 'If you return in peace, the Lord has not spoken by me.' And he said, 'Hear, all you peoples.' So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth-Gilead. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, 'I'll disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes.' And the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the 32 captains of his chariots, 'Fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel.' And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, "It is surely the king of Israel." And they turned to fight against him, and Jehoshaphat cried out. And when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. But a certain man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the scale armor and the breastplate. And therefore he said to the driver of his chariot, "Turn around and carry me out of the battle, for I am wounded." And the battle continued that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians until at evening he died, and the blood of the wound flowed into the bottom of the chariot. And about sunset, a cry went through the army, "Every man to his city, every man to his country." And so the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria, and they washed the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood, and the prostitutes washed themselves in it according to the word that the Lord had spoken. Now the rest of the acts of Ahab and all that he did, and the ivory house that he built and all the cities he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Ahab slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. Thus we've read the first 40 verses of 1 Kings 22. First Kings 22 is the story of Ahab's death. It's the story of Micaiah the prophet, one of the lesser known prophets of the Bible. It's also a very clear picture for us of what it was like around the throne of Ahab and the society of the northern kingdom, at least at court. And it is also a picture that is all too familiar to us if we were to look around in our own society today. It's this story of this incident of Micaiah that can help give direction to us as a church and insight into the world around us, as well as give us the ultimate comfort of God's sovereignty over our lives. We can see right away in this incident that there is great pressure to conform to the world. That evil is not content to simply be evil, but it demands agreement. That it's upset when the word of the Lord is different from the word of the world. Ahab is open about his contempt. He says, "There is another prophet of the Lord, Micaiah, son of Imlah, but I hate him. I hate him." And then he tells us why in verses 8 and 9. "I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but evil." Ahab hates the prophet of the Lord, because the word of the Lord doesn't allow Ahab to live in every vice and every pleasure that he wants to. It doesn't let Ahab and say, "Good for you for wallowing in the lust of your flesh." Ahab hates the prophet Micaiah. You'll remember last chapter, he views Elijah as his enemy. Because ultimately it's God's word that Ahab hates. Yet, Micaiah is brought before Ahab, and Micaiah is forced to speak in front of Ahab. Micaiah can't just be left alone. He has to be hauled in and ordered to speak the truth. Ahab is demanding that the truth of the Lord be conformed to Ahab's will. In verse 13, we even see that the pressure begins even before Micaiah is actually brought to court. The messenger who goes to summon Micaiah says, "Behold, the word of the prophets are with one accord, or favorable to the king. Let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." This is something that we are all familiar with in this day and age, where the world reaches out and says, "Everybody else agrees. Why don't you just agree? Why don't you say the Lord agrees with this sinful behavior or that sinful behavior or whatever it might be that they're wanting approval for this week. Everybody else is on the same page. Why don't you do the same? What's implied in the man's words in verse 13, this messenger, is there'd be no problem if you just said everything was fine. It's clear that the troublemaker here is not the lying prophets, at least in this messenger's view. It's not everybody who's saying something that's untrue. It's the one person sticking to the word of the Lord. Everything would go well if you would just change to lie like everybody else. This is the same debate we saw earlier in the book of Kings. Who is ultimately the troubler of Israel? Is it Elijah for preaching the word of the Lord and for claiming that the Lord is not going to send a drought or is not going to send rain on the land as He sends the drought? Or is the troubler of Israel the one who sins and has caused the problems in the first place? Here it is again. Just change it. Why do you cause such a problem, Micaiah? Why are you always saying something different than everybody else? Let your word be like their word. Note that both Ahab and the messenger here have no idea how truth really works. Micaiah tells them, I speak what the Lord says. That's my calling as the prophet. That's the church's calling today. Micaiah's saying, as a prophet, I have to speak. I have to speak what the word of the Lord says to me to say. I don't get to change it. I'm a servant of the Lord. And the church is a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And where He has spoken, we have to speak. When we can't change the words of the Lord. For God doesn't change. Evil is evil and good is good. God has declared it to be so, and so must we. And therefore, you should expect the same reaction from the world that Ahab has for Micaiah. I hate him. I hate him. Because he won't change what he says to make me feel good. He won't change his prophecies and his words so that I can hear praises and things that say all is going to be well for you. Ahab hates the prophet of God because he hates the words of God. He hates the prophet because he won't please Ahab's will. But in the end, the gospel is not about pleasing men. It's about the truth. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done. It's about the glory of God. It's not up for change. And when Micaiah gets in front of Ahab, at first he sarcastically mocks him. Isn't this what you want me to say? This will be good for you. Go ahead. Just go. It'll be great. You'll love it. Ahab knows he's being mocked and he says, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. I command you to tell me what the Lord has really said. And then Micaiah tells him, the Lord says you're going to die. I've seen these sheep without a shepherd and they're all running to their own house. Go home and in peace. Forget this war, he tells him. He answers the question. He does what he's supposed to. He speaks the truth. And even though Ahab, in verses 16 here, is saying that he wants Micaiah to tell him the truth, he gets mad when Micaiah does. I told you. This is why I hate him. He speaks the truth, and I don't like it, and therefore I'm angry again. I told him to speak the truth. I commanded him to speak the truth, yet now I'm going to punish him for speaking the truth. Then And Micaiah tells him of the vision that he saw of what happened in heaven. Where the Lord says in verse 20, "Who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?" And the spirits have different ideas until one says, "I'll entice him. I'll be a lying spirit in all the mouths of his prophets. He'll believe them." And the Lord says, "That'll go, and I'll make sure it works." One of the things we're supposed to see from Micaiah's vision here is that God is ultimately in control. The one clear truth is that God is in control. Ahab is going to die at Ramoth-Gilead. It's going to happen. The Lord has decreed it will come about, and He is in control of how it will come about. He'll put a lying spirit in the mouth of all the false prophets, and the king Ahab will listen to them, and he'll go up, and he'll die. When you start to read verses 29 and on, when we get to the actual battle, you should remember this story that Micaiah is saying, the vision that he's had. Ahab tries to outsmart God. "Let Jehoshaphat go and dress as king. I'll just dress as a normal foot soldier. Then Jehoshaphat will die, and Ahab will live." And it doesn't work that way. That's not what God has decreed. That's not what God has said will come to pass. And it doesn't matter what schemes Ahab comes up with. It doesn't matter what deceit. And even though that it seems to work at first, the people who were assigned to go kill the king, they chase Jehoshaphat. But in the end, they see that it's not Ahab. And so somebody just turns and shoots a bow and arrow. And it just happens to find Ahab. And he dies. This translation here says, shoots at random. He drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel. Meant to draw our attention to that this is not random. In fact, it's an ironic use of the word. It's just random. He just picked a target. But we know the Lord has already picked the target. We've already seen. We've already been told. And all Ahab's scheming and all Ahab's plans and all Ahab's plots and all Ahab's hatred for the truth and dismissal of the Word of God come to nothing. We're not told what Ahab thought while he sat there and bled to death in his chariot, but you wonder if he thought, Micaiah was right. Those other prophets did lie. I am going to die. But notice also in Micaiah's vision that even the lying spirits and the lies that are told by the people who claim to represent the Lord are still in the Lord's hands. I'll put the lying spirits in their mouth. All this will come to pass. Even the lies that people are telling are ultimately under the control of God. Nothing that happens in this entire incident is outside of God's control. The lying prophets, ultimately planned out by the Lord. The death of Ahab, obviously planned out by the Lord. The victory of the enemies of Israel, planned out by the Lord. Which means also then that even the persecution and suffering of Micaiah is part of God's plan. Nothing here happens without God's authority and God's control. Even the end where Ahab says, "Put this fellow in prison," in verse 27, "and feed him meager rations of bread and water." Some translations will say, "Feed him the bread of affliction." Even the bread of affliction is under the sovereign control of God. In We need to understand that when the truth of the Lord is preached and proclaimed, it will often be met by the world, by unbelievers, with anger. It will respond with attempting to give the church the bread of affliction. Micaiah simply does what King Ahab asks. He asks a question and it is answered by the prophet. Should I go up to Ramoth-Gilead or should I stay at home? And ultimately the prophet says, you should stay at home. And he gets mad. And he arrests him and sends him away. All of it happened because he spoke the truth. Remember, he wasn't given an option. He was commanded to speak the truth. He was sent for and fetched. He wasn't even left alone in his home. They sent a messenger to fetch Micaiah. And they brought Micaiah there and they said, here's the question, answer it. And answer it truthfully. And he answers it truthfully and then they punish him for it. And he says, put this man in prison until I come again in peace. And Micaiah says, if you return in peace, then I've been lying. We don't know what happens after this to Micaiah. He never shows up again. Perhaps he suffered the bread of affliction for the rest of his life. Because Ahab never came again in peace. That's the sort of response that we ought to expect. Even when they ask for it and they ask questions and they send for it and they demand it, when they hear the truth of the Lord, the unbeliever hates it and he smacks it and he punishes it. He tries to ignore it. He tries to trick it. He does whatever he can, but he can't avoid it. Because in the end, God is in control. Micaiah is proven correct. Ahab does not return again in peace. He dies. The Lord has spoken, and thus it comes to pass. Ahab heard the truth, and he went to war anyway. It's interesting to note here as well that not only is Ahab angry, but so too are all the false prophets. These prophets who are claiming the name of the Lord, like Zedekiah. They have the same reaction that Ahab the unbeliever has. They too hate the truth of the Lord. Because ultimately there's no difference between the false prophets who are claiming the name of the Lord and Ahab who could really care less. There's no difference. Zedekiah hits the prophet, smacks him upside his head, mocks him. Because both Zedekiah, even though he claims the name of God, just like Ahab, despises the word of God and would go on pretending it doesn't exist. The two have the same reaction of hatred and anger because those who twist the word of God and falsely claim to be prophets are working for the world just as much as Ahab is. They're against God. They're against Christ. They're really not gradations of where one stands. It's not as if Ahab's way over here and Micaiah's way over here and the false prophets are somewhere in the middle. No, they're two places. You're with Christ or you're against Him. You're gathering to Him or you're scattering abroad. This is what Christ Himself teaches us. So you shouldn't be surprised to see the false prophets agree and react exactly as Ahab does. They're against Christ. They're against His Word. And even though they heard the truth, Just like Ahab, their greed is too much. Their desire for influence and for power is just like Ahab's desire to enrich himself and to gain back Ramoth-Gilead. He goes to war anyway. We need to remember as we read this section of 1 Kings 22 that our world is not all that different than Ahab's. The same basic responses are here today. When you are preaching or telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're sharing your faith with your co-workers or with your friends or wherever you might be, you should expect that many will react with hate. For they hate the word of the Lord. There are many out there in the culture today who have Ahab's mindset. I hate him because he never prophesies good concerning me. I hate the church because they never say what I want them to say. You'll run into them wherever you go, whether it's at work, or whether it's at college, or at school. Don't be surprised when the reaction you run into is hate. After all, our Lord Jesus told us the same thing. They hate you because they hate me. That's the ultimate thing to remember. They hate the Word of God because they hate Jesus Christ. And therefore they hate the things that speak the Word of Christ. They'll hate the church. They'll hate you because ultimately their hate is directed at Jesus. You also need to remember that true comfort in this world cannot be found in the crowd. It can't be found by going along. It can't be found by saying the same thing that everybody else is saying. True comfort in this life is found only in Jesus Christ. Micaiah is right. I'll speak what the Lord says. My comfort's not found in getting along with everybody else. My comfort is not found in saying the same thing the world is saying. My comfort is found in Him. There's one comfort. One source of comfort in life and in death. He's our only hope. He's our only comfort. He's our identity. It's Him that we serve. It's Him that we must be in. Searching for hope and comfort and identity elsewhere will hang you out to dry and will leave you a victim of the God of reality. The messenger comes to Micaiah and says, everything will go swimmingly if you just say what everybody else says. Follow Zedekiah's lead and tell them they're going to gore the Syrians with your horns of iron. Just say what they're saying and you'll do well. It'll go well with you. It'll go well with us. It'll go well with Ahab. Everybody will be happy. But that's not true. Ahab was bound to die. Israel loses. They're sheep without a shepherd and they're scattered. Zedekiah ends up hiding in an inside chamber because he's afraid. Micaiah could have lied and maybe he wouldn't have had the bread of affliction. But it wouldn't have been lasted because it was a lie. There's no hope and there's no comfort in lies. What the world wants you to take comfort in today are lies. And they will feed you lie after lie after lie after lie. Take comfort in this. But there's only one comfort. Because there's only one God who's in control over all things. There's one Creator. to whom we must all answer. There is one Lord Almighty. And there's only one way to be right with Him. And it's not through trickery and deceit like Ahab says. Maybe I can avoid God's wrath if I put on a normal person's armor. Maybe I can avoid God's wrath if I let Jehoshaphat take all the fire. Maybe I can avoid God's wrath if I'm a good person and help little old ladies across the street. If I say the right thing and do the right thing, then God will surely love me. Those are all lies. No, the way to be right with the Lord is to repent and believe. Ahab had his opportunity. Micaiah tells him, this is what's going to happen. Go home in peace. If he'd have repented from his plans, if he'd have hit his knees and said, Lord, forgive me. But he didn't. There's one comfort in life and in death, and that's that we belong body and soul to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, who's fully satisfied for all our sins. That's your only hope. The only way to be right before God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to Him now in prayer. Merciful Lord in heaven, we acknowledge that all too often we do ignore Your Word. We acknowledge that there are times where we try to find the loophole and try to get out. Lord, for we know it's You who's in control. Create in us a heart that is quick to hit our knees, quick to repent, quick to hear Your Word, quick to respond to Your Word with faith and belief. Lord, we thank You that You have not left us here on our own devices, but that You have given us Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has satisfied for our sins, who does pay Your wrath on our sins. We ask, O Lord, that You would strengthen us as we face the temptations and the trials of the world, that we would be able to withstand the pressures to conform, the pressures to turn our back on You and to just go along to get along. Help us and sustain us, Lord, even if it is Your will that we suffer the bread of affliction. Help us always find our comfort and our hope in You. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.